Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hal Turner Show, live from northeastern Pennsylvania in the United States of America, coming to you on global high-frequency radio stations, WBCQ, WRMI, and WWCR. Together, those three shortwave radio stations carry this show to almost 100 countries around the world. Show also streams live from my website, HalTurnerRadioShow.com. We talk about news and issues of the day on this show. More often than not, news that the mass media simply doesn't report. If you'd like to call this show to express your opinion about news, the telephone number you can dial, country code 1-201-771-3013. We begin today with news about and by President Trump. President Donald Trump posted something on his social media account this morning, and it is causing red alerts everywhere. In his posting, President Trump talks about courts potentially reversing some of the tariffs that he has invoked, and going on to say that it would be a 1929 depression all over again. Let me read you the actual posting. President Trump said, quote, "Tariffs are having a huge positive effect on the stock market. Almost every day, new records are set. In addition, hundreds of billions of dollars are pouring into our country's coffers. If a radical left court ruled against us at this late date in an attempt to bring down or disturb the largest amount of money, wealth creation, and influence the USA has ever seen, it would be impossible to ever recover or pay back these massive sums of money and honor. It would be 1929 all over again, a Great Depression. If they were going to rule against the wealth, strength, and power of America, they should have done so long ago, at the beginning of the case, where our entire country, while never having a chance at this kind of greatness again, would not have been put in 1929-style jeopardy. There is no way America could recover from such a judicial tragedy. But I know our court system better than anyone. There's no one in history that has gone through the trials, tribulations, and uncertainties such as I. And absolutely terrible, but also amazingly beautiful, things can happen. Our country deserves success and greatness, not turmoil, failure, and disgrace. God bless America," unquote. So I read this, and my heart sank. And I thought to myself, he knows something. he knows something about a coming court ruling. Because this posting by President Trump came out of left field. There was no news about courts, court decisions, lawsuits, and yet he brings it up. But when he said, if a radical left court ruled against us at this late date in an attempt to bring down or disturb the largest amount of money, wealth creation, and influence the USA has ever seen, it would be impossible to ever recover or pay back these massive sums of money and honor. It would be 1929 all over again, a Great Depression. I thought to myself, he knows what's coming. And for him to publicly publish the words, quote, it would be 1929 all over again, a Great Depression, was horrifying to me. And then he repeated it later on in the post. Talking about the courts, he said, if they were going to rule against the wealth, strength, and power of America, they should have done so long ago. At the beginning of the case, where our entire country, while never having a chance at this kind of greatness again, would not have been put in 1929-style jeopardy. Folks, that's the second time in the same posting he referred to the Great Depression. And it gets worse from there. He went on to say, there is no way America could recover from such a judicial tragedy. That's a hell of a thing to say about the United States of America. We have recovered from anything and everything that has ever happened to us. And he goes on to say, but I know our court system better than anyone. There's no one in history who's gone through the trials, tribulations, and uncertainties such as I, and absolutely terrible, but also amazingly beautiful things can happen. Our country deserves success and greatness, not turmoil, failure, and disgrace. Look, I am not a financial expert or a professional. I'm not licensed by any government agency in matters financial. So, as a matter of law and as a matter of fact, I am not competent to render a financial opinion. And you should not rely on anything that I write or I say to make any financial decision for yourself. Consult with a licensed financial expert before making any financial decisions. Now, having said that, this post by President Trump triggered a red alert in my mind. It's almost as if he knows a court is going to do something with tariffs. And I think, my own personal opinion, he is setting the public relations stage for a 1929-style economic crash and depression. And I think he's also setting the public relations stage to blame the courts when it happens. Folks, I don't like this one bit. You pay very, very close attention to the implications of what President Trump posted today. Because when words like these come out of a president's mouth, it cannot be good. You know, think about this. Two times President Trump mentioned 1929-style depression and then 1929-style jeopardy. Look back in history about what happened in 1929. Banks collapsed. Stock markets and bond markets collapsed. Businesses closed. Credit dried up. Money dried up. There were food lines. There were food riots. There was no FDIC insurance for bank account holders. Now, of course, there is, but by all measures, the FDIC is almost broke. Now, sure, Congress can legislate to give the FDIC more money, but the government itself is also broke. No one wants to lend them any more money because they're already $37.5 trillion in debt and have to use almost 25% of current incoming tax revenues just to pay interest on the debt. So if what President Trump said today is accurate, then we have to ask ourselves, is it possible there may not be any FDIC money to cover bank collapses? And I have to point out to all of you that the fine print in that FDIC insurance says that they have 1 year to pay off bank account holders. So what are you supposed to do in the meantime? How do you eat? Well, I don't know about you, but when I read this today, I went out to the bank to take some money out to get by if everything goes to hell. Now, I don't have much, and I didn't take all of it because there was no need to take all of it. Plus, the bank probably would have freaked. But I did take some money out, enough to get by for what I think would be a couple of months. And mind you, this money is not to pay any bills. Screw the bills. This money is to survive. Food, water, medicine, fuel for the vehicles. Now, if everything turns out okay, I can always put the money back. But if everything goes to hell, at least I will have something to get by on for a while. What about you? What happens if, let's say, one of the circuits in the Court of Appeals upholds a lower court ruling and says the president did not have the authority to implement these tariffs. They are all revoked and all the money has to be refunded. Well, the president already said in his posting, if they were going to rule against the wealth, strength, and power of America, they should have done so long ago at the beginning of the case, where our entire country, while never having a chance at this kind of greatness again, would not have been put in 1929-style Jeopardy. There is no way America could recover from such a judicial tragedy. He also said it would be impossible to ever recover or pay back these massive sums of money, which as of today is $152 billion. So let's say the court ruling comes out in the morning. What if the whole thing falls apart by that afternoon and everything shuts down? Are you ready?
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When hurricane winds are gusting? When floodwaters reach your door? Or a blizzard blocks all the roads? Or is the best time perhaps today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
...16 minutes after the hour, Hal Turner back with you. So, let's say you're at work some morning, and the day is an uneventful day. You're just going through your regular job routine. And you suddenly hear from somebody in the office or something on the radio or maybe something on a nearby television. The courts have ruled the tariffs are not allowed and all the money has to be given back. And as a result, the Federal Reserve has said that all banks in the country have to temporarily, immediately shut down until the country can get its financial house in order. And everybody should go home from work because nothing can be processed financially. Credit cards are off. Debit cards are off. ATMs are shut down. Everybody has to go home. As you're driving home, you say, oh, geez, I only got a quarter of a tank of gas in the car. I better stop at a gas station. You go to a gas station, they got a sign, cash only. No credit, no debit, no checks, no EBT or whatever the heck else they use. Cash only. You reach in your pocket, how much cash you got in there? Because that's how much gasoline you're getting. All right? On the way home, you pass a supermarket. There's chaos outside the supermarket, and you catch a glimpse of a sign, cash only. No credit, no checks, no EBT, no SNAP. Cash only. How much cash you got stashed at home? How are you going to buy milk? How are you going to buy dinner? How many days worth of breakfast, lunch, and dinner do you have in your house for your family if everything just stops? Now, I know this sounds absurd. And believe me, as I'm speaking the words, my own brain is saying, this can't happen. This has never happened. And yet the president of the United States, in a posting on social media today, specifically said, quote, it would be 1929 all over again, a Great Depression, unquote. And later, same posting, he said, quote, would not have been put in 1929-style Jeopardy, unquote. Why would any rational president of the United States say something like that publicly? Unless he knew what was coming. Unless he knew what was coming and can't stop it. I don't like this at all, folks. This came out of left field from the mouth of the President of the United States. This isn't like a source in government, an anonymous source. This isn't somebody who wanted to remain anonymous because they were not authorized to speak about it. This is the President of the United States talking about it would be 1929 all over again. A Great Depression. His words, not mine. So where does that leave me and you? The day this happens, if it happens, what if they just shut everything off? You can't log into your bank accounts. You can't get your balance. Your credit cards and debit cards don't work. The ATMs are all shut off. Gas stations and supermarkets and everybody else say cash only. Where would that leave you? You know, think about it. Today's Thursday, right? No, today's not Thursday. Duh. Today's Friday. You left work this morning to go to work. How much money did you have in your pocket? You know. I had $103. That's what I had. $103. My car has 3/4 of a tank of gas, so I'm okay. Gas is like $4 a gallon here in Northeast Pennsylvania. So if I needed a quarter tank of gas, maybe that's 5 gallons. That would have been $20. I could have topped the car off. And then I had that would have left me $83 if I needed food. So I could, you know, I could get milk, I could get bread, whatever other little things I needed. And then what? That ties me over for tonight, right? Because we got some food in the refrigerator for dinner. We got boxes of macaroni, we got cans of soup, we got a day or two's worth of stuff, right? Because everybody does. Almost everybody, except like the real young single guys that eat out all the time and don't have any food at home at all. Most people have some food in the house, but what do you do after a day or two? Oh, geez, they thought they were going to be able to turn everything on this week, but it won't be till late next week or the following week. Now what do? You don't have cash. Credit cards shut off, debit cards shut off, nobody takes checks. SNAP, EBT, none of that stuff works. What do? How do you eat? And how do you get back and forth to work? Or is there work? Maybe all the companies just shut down. Maybe they can't get to their payroll accounts either, and they can't pay you. Yeah, you were supposed to get a check Friday, but the banks are all shut down. Nobody got checks. Now what? I'm trying to get you to think in a catastrophic manner. Because what President Donald Trump posted publicly today would be a catastrophe. And because this country is inextricably intertwined together, everything goes through the internet now, all of it could be shut off in one click. Your life, my life, everybody's life would stop for economic purposes in one click. How would you be able to deal with that? Now, regular listeners to this radio show know that I have suggested they keep an amount of cash stashed away at home to get through emergencies. And a lot of people have heard me say this and took action. You know, they put $500, you know, in a drawer or behind the dresser drawer, taped, you know, or they hid it in a shoebox in the closet. I don't know. Or they stuck in their freezer. I'm just guessing, right? But a lot of other people heard what I said time after time and did absolutely nothing. Guess what they're going to be able to buy? Oh, yeah. Nothing. So I'm trying to get you to pay attention to the extraordinary words the President of the United States put out this morning. It would be 1929 all over again, a Great Depression. I'm trying to get you to realize that because we are all inextricably intertwined with each other, all the banks, the credit cards, the debit cards, the ATMs, all intertwined. Every merchant that we see going to and from wherever we go, we're all connected. And in one click, all of it could stop. So today is Friday, the 8th of August, 2025. I have reproduced, I have copied President Trump's actual social media posting. It is on my website. You can read his words yourself. It's a cut and paste of his actual posting. It's not me typing what he wrote. It's a picture of what he wrote. And the article is, uh-oh, heads up, Trump talking 1929 depression, setting the stage to blame the courts. If you don't have cash, some of the banks are open tomorrow. There's some ATM machines open now, but most people can only get like $500. Some ATMs will give $800. The ones at my bank will give $1,000. Would you please go take out some cash money and stash it in your house so that you will have a way to do something if it all falls apart? I don't know if it's going to fall apart. I have a feeling it's going to. A lot of people saying, mathematically, this system cannot go on. Have you noticed that the official publication of the United States national debt has not been updated in months? It's still at $37 trillion. But we know, based on the spending and the income, that the U.S. national debt rises about $1 trillion every 100 days. So why aren't they updating the debt? When they start to conceal stuff like this, it's bad, right? Maybe a lot worse than any of us think. I'm trying to get you to prepare. I mean, I can't, you know, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink, right? And it's not me telling you 1929 style depression. It's the President of the United States. If you don't believe me, maybe you should believe him. All right, there's other news. Gee whiz. I can't believe this. This is crazy. A meeting date has been set for a meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and Russian Federation President Vladimir Putin. President Trump revealed today that he will meet with President Vladimir Putin next week in Alaska. Yeah, Alaska. Well, the United States and Russia are, in fact, next door neighbors at Alaska. They'll meet on August 15th. I'll be back. Five minutes past the hour. Hal Turner back with you. I got a text from a listener in Michigan saying, Hal, you're off WWCR on frequency 7520. They've begun playing an old show. So I tried to reach them. Nobody answered. That's aggravating. They're paid in advance. Anyway, President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin will meet in Alaska next Friday, August 15th. Now, I don't know where in Alaska. Alaska is huge. And for those of you not readily familiar, my home state of New Jersey is about 7,100 square miles. I lived in the state of Georgia for a few years back in the early to mid 80s. The state of Georgia, much, much, much bigger than New Jersey. Georgia is about 50,000 square miles. New Jersey, 7,100 square miles. Georgia is about 50,000 square miles. But Texas? Texas is 5+ times bigger than Georgia. Texas is 262,000 square miles. Do you know to drive from Dallas to El Paso is 800 miles? 800 miles. And that's not the whole width of Texas. Texas, 262,000 square miles. You know what Alaska is? 525,000 square miles. You can fit two Texas in an Alaska. That's how big Alaska is. And most of it is pristine, untouched, undeveloped wilderness. So I'm thinking Anchorage. Now, I don't know. The president has not released these details. But I'm thinking Anchorage. And, you know, the United States and Alaska, the United States and Russia are technically only 7 miles apart if you count islands in the middle of the Bering Sea. One of the islands is Russia. The other island is the United States. There's really only about 7 miles between western Alaska and eastern Russia. So the U.S. and Russia literally are next-door neighbors, which just next door in a part of each of our countries where there are very, very few people. There's lots of grizzly bears. You know, there's grizzly bears in Alaska, and there's Russian brown bears in Russia. Very few people. But I thought that that was a really cool meeting spot for both presidents. It's sparsely populated. It's easy to get to for both men. President Trump will have to go about 3,500 miles. President Putin will have to go about 4,300 miles from Moscow to Anchorage, if it's Anchorage. So the two presidents would travel equal amounts, almost equal amounts of flight time. And it can be made completely secure. Right? I mean, the Russians are going to protect their side. We Americans are going to protect our side. None of the radicals around the world are going to be able to get to or anywhere near either President Putin or President Trump. So that men will be safe. They'll be comfortable. And they can get together and conduct our nation's business together in a relaxed environment. And our nation's business between each other is in desperate need of responsible, mature, stable attention. The relationship between the United States and Russia was almost completely destroyed by the utterly incompetent and illegitimate Biden regime. The Biden regime didn't talk to the Russians for like 3 years. How is it that the two most heavily armed nuclear powers on this planet weren't talking to each other for 3 years? That's incomprehensible to me. And yet, that's what we had under this train wreck president, Joe Biden, and the pencil neck geek nitwits that worked for him. Anthony Blinken, Jake Sullivan.
Yeah, Anthony Blinken.
Incompetent filth. The both of them. So our countries need to pay attention to each other. We have to try to reestablish some semblance of normalcy. Now, a lot of people are saying, but how? Russia is invading Ukraine. So what? What does that have to do with relations between the United States of America and Russia? They're two gigantic countries. Tens of thousands of things go on in each of our countries every day where we could get along with each other, do business together, do commerce together, learn from each other, build friendships, build relationships, and yet a bunch of crybabies, especially over in Europe.
Ukraine!
They don't even say the name correctly. It's not Ukraine. It's the Ukraine. Because it doesn't refer to a country. It refers to the borderland. That's what Ukraine in Russian means. The borderland. That's why it's called the Ukraine. The Russians are referring to their borderland. They weren't even their own country until recently. And yet the two most heavily armed nuclear superpowers on this planet are supposed to not talk to each other because of Ukraine? What kind of idiocy is that? That's the idiocy of the Democrat Party. Because that's what seems to populate the Democrat Party nowadays. Idiots. From the people they elect right down to the people who cast votes for them. Idiots to a man. And I understand why. I completely understand why. Because of their mascot. The jackass, the donkey, is the mascot for the Democrat Party. And the donkey is, as you know, referred to as a jackass. And that's because you have to be a jackass to be a Democrat. You certainly have to be a jackass to have voted for one. And if I offend you, good. Stop being a jackass. We've got to work on things between the U.S. and Russia. But I got to say to the Russians, don't trust.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
And I'm back. Hal Turner live from Eastern Pennsylvania tonight. Yeah, I would say to the Russians, do not trust. Make sure everything is put in writing and agreed to in writing. Because the moment the notification of this meeting came out, within minutes, there were leaks coming from Europe, and in particular, from Poland. And the leaks were saying Trump is going to tell Putin that they'll accept Russia claiming eastern Ukraine, and they'll accept Ukraine not being in NATO, and they'll accept. It was a torrent of leaks coming out of Europe, and I have no idea at all if any of it is truthful. Because the one thing the European governments can be counted on to do is to lie. The Europeans wanted the Trump-Putin meeting to be in Rome so that leaders from Europe could have a place at the table. Well, why do the people in Europe want a place at the table? They have puny countries with pipsqueak armies, and if this thing goes wild weasel, it's going to be the United States that has to clean it all up. I think, frankly, President Trump should offer a place at the meeting to Keir Starmer of the United Kingdom and to Emmanuel Macron of France and to Friedrich Merz of Germany. I think President Trump should tell them, yeah, you know, we're going to be at this hotel in this city or this convention center, wherever it's going to be, and you guys can come, but make sure you bring your shine box, because you're going to be the shoe shine boys at the conference. Bring your shine box. It can shine our shoes before we go into the meeting, because that's about the extent of Europe's military value to NATO. There's some 32 countries in NATO? And the United States alone is 72% of NATO's military capacity? 30 countries, but the United States is 72% of NATO's capacity. Yeah, you guys can bring your shine box and shine President Putin's shoes and shine President Trump's shoes as they go in and talk. You want a place at the table. How dare you? Who do you think you are? Some of you haven't even spent 2% of your GDP on defense, as has been required by the NATO treaty for decades. And you think you've earned a place at the table? No, bring your shoe shine box and wait out in the hall. We'll be out to get our shoes shined. You want a place at the table. So I think it's good that the U.S. and Russia are going to get together and talk. I don't know what's going to be agreed to. I just don't. But I suspect it will be, and quite frankly, should be, Russia's terms. And the reason I suspect it will be, and the reason I think it should be, Russia has been right from the beginning of this thing, and we, I'm sorry to say, have been wrong. And I explained it 1,000 times. I'm not going to go into it again. But more importantly, Russia is winning. Big. At best, the Ukrainian army has 2 to 3 months left before it completely collapses. 2 to 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, it's over. Ukraine collapses. Russia wins. The only way to stop that is if NATO directly enters combat with Russia. And if NATO enters combat with Russia, it's World War III. It'll be over in 3 hours. The whole world will be destroyed. So I think it has to be on Russia's terms. Because if it isn't on Russia's terms now, it's going to be on Russia's terms in 3 months. And then, in 3 months, the whole world will see that the mighty United States and NATO lost. The whole world will see it. They're able to settle it quietly now. Maybe they can propagandize their way out of losing. But we have, in fact, lost. And it's time to accept reality and bring this conflict to a close. But Russia must get these agreements in writing. They have to be ironclad, legally enforceable documents. Because if the U.S. and the West say, no, listen, we're not going to have a treaty, we'll have some exchange of understandings, but we're not signing anything, then the only actual result will be they will arm Ukraine to the teeth and restart the war again. The countries of the West have proven they are deceitful. They are intentional liars. Look at Angela Merkel and French president at the time, Francois Hollande, attended the Minsk conference in Belarus in 2014, knowing they intended to deceive Russia. It came out a couple months into the Russia-Ukraine conflict, where Merkel said in a TV interview, they only signed the Minsk agreements to buy time to arm Ukraine for war. The whole Minsk peace conference was a deception. So Russia knows, as a matter of irrefutable fact, the West cannot be trusted. And of course the Russians learned that when then Secretary of State James Baker relayed a message to then Soviet General Secretary Mikhail Gorbachev in the Kremlin on February 9th, 1990, where Baker conveyed a message from George H.W. Bush that if The Soviet Union allowed the reunification of East and West Germany. NATO will not move one inch east. 6 years later, Bill Clinton comes along. And wham, big NATO expansion. Then George W. Bush, the son, comes along. Wham, another gigantic big NATO expansion right up to Russia's borders. We promised them on February 9, 1990, NATO will not move one inch east. NATO moved 1,000 kilometers east. The West cannot be trusted. If they're not willing to put it all in writing, in a legally enforceable document, Russia can't settle. Because the only reason they don't want to put it in writing is they have malicious intent. They've proven it for more than 20 years. Right? February 9, 1990, they promised won't move one inch east. 1996, they start moving east. 2001, George W. Bush, they move further east. 2014, they overthrow the Ukrainian government and install a puppet government to try to get Ukraine to come into NATO. War breaks out in 2022. They're siding with Ukraine against Russia. The West cannot be trusted at all. At all. If their intentions are honorable, let them commit it to writing and have it agreed to by both sides. I don't know if you would call it a treaty. Maybe you can call it a contract. Something that's legally enforceable. Because if they're not willing to do that, then this entire process is a fraud. All right, it is 9:57. So I don't have time to take any calls. Because the music's going to start playing in a couple of seconds. Let's see, the music's going to start playing at 58:15. So 45 seconds from now, the music's going to start playing. Today is Friday. I am off for the weekend. If Almighty God wills it, I will be back on Monday. Well, my wife and I are up here in Pennsylvania. We're going to be up here, you know, at least through next week. Because remember, those secondary tariffs that President Trump said would go against Russia are scheduled to come into effect today. I don't know that they will, but at midnight tonight, they're supposed to. And I don't know if that's going to cause an immediate war. I just don't know. My wife and I will be up here in Northeast Pennsylvania for at least a week. Our son is at our house in New Jersey. And I don't know what's coming, but this is the month. I'm certain of it. I guess we'll get a much better feel for things next week. Look, get some money out of the bank. If you can't go to an ATM tonight, go to your bank branch in the morning and get some. Please. Say you have 500 or 1,000 bucks stashed in the house in case it all goes to hell. Trump talking about a depression did not inspire my confidence. All right, I'm off for the weekend. God willing, I'll be back Monday. Thanks for listening. I'm Al Turner. Good night from Pennsylvania.